In this episode of the podcast, I'm joined by a good friend, Jason Box, another ex-DC United Academy coach who's currently coaching with Arlington Soccer Club. Jason's also the director of international admissions at the Calverton School. Jason tells us what it was like for him to be recruited as a foreign player living in England before coming over to experience three different universities in America. Jason went to Cayuga County Community College in New York before heading to University of West Alabama and then heading back to New York to SUNY Cortland. This is a really interesting podcast as Jason lays out what it was like to be a foreign player being recruited to American universities, what that process was like, confusing parts of the recruiting process for him, and then realities that set in once he set foot on campuses here in America. Enjoy. So just kind of take me through like where you're from, when you started playing, all that.
All right, perfect. Yeah, no. So one thing that maybe not a lot of people know about myself, but I was actually born in Plainfield, New Jersey. My parents are both English, but
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they lived in New Jersey. Well, they lived in the US for about 4.5 years. So my brother was also born. He was born in Connecticut. I was born in New Jersey. And then obviously moved back to England. So I was only here for about 2 months. So I grew up in Brentford, which is West London, over in the UK. I probably started playing, you know, football, soccer from probably the age of about, I think I only really started playing competitively at like, you know, 8 or 9. I know for the UK, it seems a little, you know, little late, but either way, then I kind of just played on local teams, and then kind of decided to make the jump and come to the US to continue, you know, trying to play football, soccer and get an education. You know, I went to 3 different schools in 4 years. And obviously graduated in 2016. From there, I, you know, had an internship with DC United. And then from there, sort of been working with the Calverton School, which is where we had a residential program. So sort of working with the academy, different age groups, you know, assisting with the older age groups, assisting, you know, Bale with the Calverton program. And then he sort of went out the picture. I sort of took over the program and had other different roles with the academy. And then, you know, we sort of built another part of the program. So that's sort of what I do now at the Calverton School. I also do residential admissions. So, you know, that's for any student, boy, girl, whether it's for 5-day or 7-day domestic or international boarding. So that's what I do at the Calverton School, obviously, as well as, you know, keep running the club program that we have out here. And then I also, this year, just picked up a U13 team at Arlington, which is obviously one of DC's partner clubs. But yeah, now, you know, working with Arlington as well.
So, right. So you're doing Arlington and DCB.
Yeah.
And it's technically called DCB, right? That's the name of the club.
Yeah. So yeah. So the program is, you know, we sort of, you know, sort of merged it. You know, before obviously it was just, you know, the DC United Academy program, but you know, as we sort of built out the club side, you know, we sort of merged it, and now it's just called the DC Calverton program. So yeah.
And then, how many kids go to Calverton School now? Anything else you can tell the listeners about the Calverton School?
Yeah, so I mean, the Calverton School is an independent college prep school located in Southern Maryland. You know, we roughly have probably about just under 280 kids. Again, it's traditionally a day school, but we do have boarding facilities, so we do have the options for 5-day and 7-day. You know, they academically identify as an international baccalaureate school, so IB, and I guess that's the small piece.
Are you guys still going after a lot of foreign students? I know that was a big initiative for you within the last year and a half, 2 years, where you've been. I mean, where are some of the places you've been?
Yeah, so
like recruiting, you know, wise for admissions.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've been able in the last couple of years been able to travel, which has been great. You know, I've been to Hong Kong, I've been to Bermuda, to the Cayman Islands, and you know, a few more trips were planned, but obviously, you know, with COVID and stuff, it's sort of put that on hold. But yeah, I mean, for us, I think ultimately, you know, we want to make the program as strong and as competitive as we can. So, you know, we're looking for kids, you know, from all over, not just, you know, internationally, but domestically as well. For us, you know, we just want to help students and help kids that are motivated and you know, sort of want to reach sort of the next level. We just want to help provide a platform for them to sort of, you know, get to college, continue their education, and you know, obviously continue playing soccer if possible.
And when you go out recruiting, you're looking for soccer players, but you're also looking for general students, right? Like you're technically out there wearing both hats, an admissions hat and a soccer coach's hat.
Yeah, it depends on the event. There have been some that have been purely for you know, for soccer recruiting. Obviously for us, similar to college, we can't, you know, we can't just take a player just because they're very, you know, they're really good. You know, the grades and the academics, you know, weigh a lot in what we can accept. You know, the school is very academic driven. So, you know, if the school don't believe they'll be a fit, it doesn't really matter how good they are or how much we'd like to have them. So there's that piece. And then, yeah, you know, there have been times where the person in the role before me had gone out, you know, to China and in India and other places. I haven't been able to go on one of those trips yet, but that's typically a trip that the school take usually in the spring. But you know, I haven't
So
been able.
I want to make sure I don't forget this question. So for you, you've transitioned pretty quickly from being like a young player to a young coach to now somebody who's in this important role of recruiting, you know, general students for the admissions department, but also recruiting wearing a hat of looking for soccer players. So how's that been of now all of a sudden you're the one going out looking for players? And you're seeing things you like, you're seeing things you don't like, and how has that influenced what you tell your current Calverton guys or DCB guys who are looking to be seen by colleges?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just sort of been a whirlwind. I mean, I know 2016 doesn't seem too far ago, and graduating at 22, and you know, that's one thing I've always got to thank DC for, just the opportunities that were sort of given to me at the time. And obviously, Ryan Martin's been a big help in that. You know, Nolan Shell's been a big help. You know, Dave Goss, all of them. You know, yourself. Basically, there's been, you know, a lot of opportunities that have sort of, you know, been thrust upon me. Again, John Bale is another one as well that has helped me a lot. And yeah, it's nice in a lot of ways. I think for me, you know, I obviously have a certain idea or view of a game, and certain qualities, not only from when I was playing, but knowing, you know, levels, you know, seeing what it's sort of been like at the academy level and what coaches look for there. And then, you know, helping Ryan with Loudon as well, and sort of seeing that level and understanding what type of player it takes, you know, to get there. And then obviously on the academic side, you know, understanding that, okay, well, this has got to be the academic profile of someone to get into college. So
A lot to consider.
yeah, it's a lot to process and a lot of criteria you sort of have to go through. So for me, yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, unless it's really you know, I'm looking for maybe a specific player in a specific position, I think for the most part, it's, you know, whether they just tick a lot of the boxes. You know, where are they a good person? Are they a good player? Are they good academically? And I think usually if they're all three of them, you know, we can find a spot for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know I'm just thinking through my head about a couple kids that when I was on staff with DC, we were texting or I'd call you or email you somebody and be like, here's somebody who's interested. Can we get him into Calverton School? And like very quickly you could come back with a read and say, yeah, he's not gonna qualify academically, or he's gonna have to pay this much money, or you know, we're full for the year. Or and I think those realities are sometimes what players run into and they become frustrated, right? In the recruiting process, where it's like it's not because you're not good enough sometimes, it's because the academic profile doesn't make sense, or the timing is off, or the finances don't make sense, you know. And it's like everybody's picture is just so different. There's so many different things going on. Like the boxes you said that have to be ticked, and it's hard to have you know, to tick every box for any player. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think for one is, you know, a lot of people, when you're the person in the shoes, you know, you're only really going to look it through one lens. And I think, you know, you're looking through your own lens and, you know, well, I think I'm this good of a player and I'm better than this player and I should be going here and I should be going there. And, you know, almost, you know, it doesn't matter about anything else. And I think that's the biggest difference is that you're not looking at the situation from someone else's lens. Like the school's lens is that, okay, well, you have to have this certain amount of grades. You have to have, you know, this, you know, we're looking for this in the recommendation, that in the recommendation. And then, you know, again, your lens, you might think, you know, you're a really good student, but, you know, if you're looking at the transcripts or if you're looking at report cards and maybe that's not reflected in there, then, you know, on the school side, their lens, they're going to be, oh, this guy actually, well, I'm not sure if he'll be a fit. You know, at the end of the day, the school never wants to put any sort of student, again, male, female, into a situation where they're going to fail. So, you know, at the end of the day, especially, you know, being a private school and money is invested in education, you know, you're invested in that. They don't want to, you know, have someone that's, you know, got really bad grades and then, you know, have them come and maybe fail within the year. So it's just something that is also important that, you know, they have to consider. Because a lot of the times I've had a lot of experiences that, you know, you get the, oh yeah, well, when I get there, I'm going to work. And they don't quite understand quite the level that's required, at least, you know, on the academic side to go. And, you know, that's sort of a problem because they only look down one lens.
And sometimes that lens, it's tough to remember how competitive it really is out there, right? Like your lens doesn't allow you to realize, yeah, you got a 3.9, but there's people that have 4.2s, 4.3s, you know, all the different things that add into it academically. Yeah, you're a good player, but there's players that play for national teams. Yeah, you're a good player, but there's players that have connections to the school, whatever you want to say. So yeah, it's a really good point. Well, the big part of the podcast for me, Boxy, tonight is just talking to you about your college experience, right? And kind of bringing how you kind of came to the U.S., came into the U.S. college system from that side of it. So take me back to like when you first started looking at colleges, first started considering it, because that's what we want to talk about is like how players can manage the recruiting process. It's such an overwhelming process, you know, let alone adding in a foreign component to it, right? So I'd love to just hear you when you were, you know, 16, 17 years old, what you were going through in your life, why you started thinking you wanted to play college soccer, what options you had. Just take me through as much of that as you can remember.
Yeah, it's, you know, definitely a lot of tough decisions or a lot of critical decisions were made in that time. And not one was ever really an easy choice. You know, it's quite funny because, you know, back home, you know, back in England, you graduate at 16 from high school or secondary school and what we call college back
much
home.
Younger.
Yeah. So we finished at 16. So, but what's different is that, you know, in England, we'll call college. Is different than college in the US. So college in England, you know, either some schools basically do an extra 2 years, which, you know, if it's a school, they call it like maybe a sixth form. Or if you just go to a college, which is basically like a 2 year school where you can do either A levels or you can do like a BTEC diploma, which is sort of like a 2 year course on certain trades. So, I mean, I did one on sports development, but you can do them in stuff from like hair and beauty, music, art, or basically anything. So you do 2 years at either sixth form or at college, and then you basically go and then you do 3 years at university. So, so at the time I was in my second year of college. So this was my first year. So I was 16 turning 17 and I hadn't even thought about going to the US. Obviously for me, I knew I was born there at this time. I didn't even have my passport to be honest, but I wasn't thinking about it one day. You know, our team was, we were a decent team. The college had a decent rep. So one day this like a US soccer sort of scholarship company came to our campus and sort of gave us like a presentation about, you know, have you guys ever considered, you know, going to college, you're going to university in the US. And again, they did their spiel, their PowerPoint, basically how to get involved. And I think at that point, you know, my head was turned. I mean, I think for me, I was, you know, I looked at, you know, some of my friends that were a little bit older, or some of my brother's friends that were obviously older. And I just had a bad, I didn't really have a good idea of going to school in the UK. I mean, it seemed as if on the football side, it sort of stands still. You know, there's not really much progression there. Maybe it's not taken as seriously. But then also, you know, it's all about the social life there, which, not to say that the US isn't, but like back home, you know, that's kind of what I knew. And I knew that my personality and it wasn't really going to be much of a fit. And I didn't really want to give up football at that time. So I thought if there's an extra few years that I can sort of keep that going, as well as obviously getting my education, you know, why not? Again, before, didn't really know what the cost would be involved, wouldn't know how to get involved, didn't know about, you know, I'll tell you something crazy stuff, like, we can get onto it later, but, you know, when I first heard about my community college in New York, you know, in England, we don't even know there's an upstate New York. We think New York, we think it's New York City. So, you know, when I'm thinking, oh, this school in New York, it was like, oh, it's just going to be like London.
I'm in Manhattan, baby.
Yeah, and literally it snowed from November to April, and I was in shock. But little things like that, you know, we don't really know a whole lot. But I knew for sure that after the presentation and having to think that, you know, going to the US was going to be a change. I know from a personal standpoint, you know, I wanted to, in some ways, kind of reinvent myself over here. You know, obviously in England, I grew up, it was kind of awkward. You know, I was always known as the guy that was, you know, a little bit funny, kind of, you know, okay at football, but, you know, never maybe the most confident or social or outgoing. And I thought, this is a chance to sort of, you know, again, kind of reinvent myself here, have a different experience, maybe travel a little bit. So definitely, as soon as that company came in and gave them the spiel, I guess I was on the hook. I really wanted to have my education over there and continue playing. So went through the whole process. Basically, at the time, it was sort of like you'll do like a, I guess, like a trial, and they'll basically assess you and basically give you, you know, not like a score, but they basically give you like rank you in certain attributes and stuff like that, and whether they think or not you'd be a good fit for them. Basically did that, and
so they ranked your whole team?
No, it was just like an individual. So you'd basically go, and it's almost kind of like an open tryout. So you basically, and I think it was at the time like four teams, just random people put together, and then, you know, you basically play an 11v11, and they'd look at your height anyway, but look at your, you know, how good your passing is, maybe your shooting, dribbling, if you're obviously heading, goalkeeper, obviously certain things. And then basically after, at the end, they'd have one-on-one meetings, and they'd sort of go over like, oh, well, you know, we would rate your passing at this much. And basically they would tell you whether they believed it was, you know, worth you basically pursuing, I guess, the company. I guess if they thought you were pretty overall, they wouldn't really recommend you. I guess maybe they felt like certain players just wouldn't get looks. So, you know, for me, again, nothing outstanding. You know, again, I always say I was an average player. Had a decent mind, but, you know, wasn't ever the quickest player. So, you know, basically we went forward in that process.
Parents are aware of everything right now. You've told them what you want to do.
Yeah.
They've supported you with going to the company's tryout, and, you know, the company tells you you're good enough to go forward, we think you're a good fit, and they support it all.
Yeah, I mean, my mom, even still to this day, my mom probably wishes that I probably didn't go, but she supported me the whole way. I mean, I think obviously for her, I'm her youngest, so it was probably a little tough for her, but I think at the end of the day, she knew that it was a good opportunity for me to do. My dad at the start was a little, little hesitant. You know, my dad was, you know, more focused and concerned on the financial side, which again, obviously at this point, you know, we don't even really know. I mean, I didn't even know there were schools that could cost $60,000. I mean, not, you know, it was crazy. I didn't even know what to expect. So, but no, he was, you know, at the end, I think, you know, he sort of saw how much it meant to me, and you know, I think my mom sort of pushed him a little bit more, and it sort of worked out. But yeah, no, as soon as they came into the school and we had the presentation, I sort of almost ran straight back home and was like, oh, look, mom, this dad, this is kind of what happened. This was the presentation, you know, looked on the website, you know, this is kind of, you know, what the steps are. So yeah, they definitely supported me in that. And from there, you basically, if you wanted to be a part of it, this is kind of where it's like, okay, now you're part of our network. So there was obviously a fee for that. And what the network allowed you to do was go to the college showcase, which at the time was at Lillieshaw, which is basically the national one of the national training centers before obviously St. George's Park is open. So it was basically a 2-day event where you could go and pretty much just kind of like a again almost kind of like an open tryout sort of thing in terms of the format. Just 11 random kids put together over 2 days. You'll play a series of, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 games. You know, there's college coaches all around the field. Each game's recorded. And it was pretty much, yeah, that was sort of it. You would go for those 2 days. If you were coaching, sorry, if you were going to go that year, obviously coaches would look to stay behind and maybe meet with you if they were interested. And obviously if there weren't any coaches that said your name, then you might have been out of luck for there. But they did have, you know, the games recorded, so there were some coaches that were in the network that might not physically get there. And it was kind of interesting because once you were part of the network, you could go to as many of those showcases as possible. So
How
for
many were
example,
there?
so I mean there was only one per year. But for me, I think I was looking to go for the fall of 2012. So the year before that, it was like December 2011 and then maybe December 2010. I went both years. In my first year that I went, obviously no one spoke to me that year because obviously I wasn't coming for, you know, the fall of 2011. So, but it was a good experience for me. And then the fall 2011, that they ended up being like a Division II school in Texas. And then I had one conversation in person with obviously a community college in New York, which I, you know, eventually went to. But after all of this, you know, in between, they sort of help you with your SAT in terms of, you know, booking it. They help you sort of through the NCAA Eligibility Center and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of how it started.
So
At
what,
least.
give me the time between the presentation and you committing until the first showcase. How long was that?
So I think they came in. I think they came in the fall of 20. Yeah, they came in the fall of 2010, and sorry, no, I yeah, they came. No, they came in the spring of 2010, and from there, then it wasn't until,
The winter.
yeah, it wasn't then until December that I did the showcase.
So what did you do all spring, all summer, all fall, all winter to prepare for that just from a college side of things? I'm not asking as much like soccer wise. What did you do to say, all right, I'm going to America. I'm going to go to college. What did you do? Did you start researching schools? Did you start watching college soccer teams playing? Obviously, back then, like YouTube and things weren't as crazy as they are now, but like, did you research at all? Or were you just like, ah, I guess I'll just go to the showcase. I'll figure it out then.
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely that. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't do a lot of research. You know, in terms of, you know, I didn't know anything between the NCAA, NAIA, Division One, Two, and Three, junior college. Didn't know any of that. I think my first thought was probably because I knew from the presentation to at least the first showcase, I knew that that wasn't the year I was going to go. So I think for me, maybe I didn't think about it as much.
So you're essentially a junior in high school. You've already graduated high school in England, but in terms of like I guess an American scenario, you're a junior where you're like, well, I'm not going till next year anyways. I'll worry about it when I'm a senior. And I think that same thing kind of happens now, right? That's why I'm so interested in the question, because so oftentimes people are like, yeah, I'll just get to that when I get to it, instead of being proactive and doing that research up front to make sure that they find the right fit. And then tell me, like, after the first showcase up until the next showcase, what did you do?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. That's definitely one thing, now that I look back at it, is one thing that I wish I kind of did, and have a little bit more of an understanding of, you know, what it is that I'm, you know, trying to do. Because, you know, the, again, one thing that we know back in England is that the US is massive. So to think that, you know, there could have been plenty of schools, plenty of different opportunities, and I didn't really take the time to look at really anything, you know, in my junior year. So,
well, you're in, and it's crazy too, because you're even younger than high school juniors and seniors now, right? Like, you're really what, a freshman or a sophomore when you're graduating, right? from high school in England. So then you'd look at this. You know, it's even difficult now for 17, 18 year olds to have things together, to want to research and be mature enough. And I think it's no fault of most kids, right? Like, it's an immaturity. It's a thing where it's not a priority for them, and they just don't know how important it is to do that research. So I think it's a theme that is consistent with most kids in the recruiting process, is they just don't do enough research. They don't use their phones or their computers to look at, well, what are really the acceptance rates, or what, how many schools are truly out there? And it's not just you, Boxy, being a guy who grew up in England. There's people in New York who don't know the schools in New York, right? And it's just like, they just don't care to, or it's too big, or it's too overwhelming for them, whatever the reason is. So yeah, that's one of the challenges with this process, is there's so many options. So then I'm guessing basically at the second combine, you get contacted by a couple schools that are actually interested, and they liked how you played. You truly got recruited. So take us through that.
Yeah. So, you know, after I went the second time, and I think, so initially it was, if there were schools that attended the event and they wanted to speak to you, basically they'd speak to you there and then. And then obviously I think it was like a week or so later, if there were schools that had interest, you know, they basically either sent you a list or the coaches started to contact you. So from there, obviously I had one in-person conversation, which was basically Cayuga Community College, which is in Auburn, New York, upstate New York. We had a conversation. Again, this is kind of where I was like, oh, you know, New York. And that's kind of where I did the research. Well, hang on, this isn't in New York City. Because, you know, at the time, even the coach was kind of like, yeah, this is a school in New York. You know, you got to enjoy it. There's this. And I was like, oh, right, yeah.
I could see myself,
you know, but he was always also talking about, you know, the team they had, the record, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, obviously for me, again, I think just anything was going to, you know, I think I was going to be excited about, because it was going to be different. The other school was, I can't remember, it was some Division II school in Texas. And again, I remember doing some research on the school, and it seemed like, again, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I knew to myself that at the time I was sort of hesitant, because I didn't really like, yes, I wanted to go and play football. Yes, I wanted to get the education, but I also, you know, didn't want to feel like I was stuck somewhere. And again, I think at the time that was maybe a little bit of, you know, immaturity on my standpoint, because I think the biggest thing for me was, can I get an education and can I play? And if it was an opportunity for me to get both, then maybe the location isn't as bad. But either way, like those sort of happened. And then kind of, you know, the SAT was the next hurdle, and making sure that I could get into that school in Texas with my SAT. So it was basically studying and trying to do well on that. And I think the first time I did it was it wasn't good at all. So didn't manage to cut the grade there. And then, you know, I managed to do it a second time. And again, I got, I got it a little bit better, but obviously at that point, you know, it was the squad already obviously had moved on, right? And I think that kind of, I was like, oh, you know,
You're talking to two schools at once. You're talking to the Texas school, you're talking mm-hmm. to the New York school. And then did you care to research like Division II versus community college and what the differences were there? Or were you just like, yeah, they're two colleges in America. They're the same.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, at the time, I did the research in terms of the differences. I mean, at the time, I sort of, yeah, just sort of knew one was community college and it was a little bit different. You know, in terms of the school in Texas in Division II, you know, comparing that to Division I or Division III, I didn't really look into that too much. I just knew that one was, you know, one was, yeah, Division II, one was community college. But I think it's, you know, my decision started to come through more of like going through the process and what was needed for that. And obviously, you know, talking about the SATs and the grades and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So at that point, the football piece started to not really be the front runner, because obviously I needed to make sure that I understood what I needed. And I think if I would have got into the Texas school, perhaps, you know, I might have gone there, or obviously I ended up at Cayuga Community College anyway. So, but yeah, no, I didn't compare the two levels, but I knew that they were different in terms of, you know, between community college and NCAA at that.
And then what were you using as resources to do your research? So was it video? Was it websites? Was it conversations with coaches, conversations with players that the coaches set up? Like, as you're doing your research and trying to find out more about these two schools, or if you looked at any other schools, what were you using to do that research, and what was your resources, and what did you find most helpful?
It was part of it.
Because you're making a massive decision, right? You're going to leave, go across to, you know, to another country, for 4 years, potentially. Like, it's a massive, massive decision, you know, putting in money, investing money, time. Like, how do you sort through all that, and what resources did you use?
I think, I mean, for me, it was, you know, and this is sort of maybe why I sort of started to, although, you know, because I ended up doing my SAT one more time and getting the right score for the Texas school, but I think that was kind of one piece that for me sort of made me a little bit uneasy, because, you know, there wasn't really much reference point. There wasn't much for me outside of, you know, just looking at the website, just looking on the internet, what you can find in Google and stuff like that, and kind of seeing, whereas, you know, the coach in New York, he, you know, he set me up with, you know, meetings or conversations with players that were already there. I think obviously he was smart and got, you know, had me having a conversation with someone that was from England as well. And obviously for me, that made me feel a lot more at ease, because I felt like, you know, if there are other guys here from England, then there's obviously something about either the school or the location that seems like it's comfortable for them. So again, for me, it was mainly the websites, but obviously for Cayuga, it was, you know, get touch and base with players that were already there. That definitely helped me a lot. But yeah, nothing too much outside of the websites and again, that one conversation.
What was the, tell me about your commitment process. What was that like? Like, you decide you're not going to go to Texas. You decide, you know, New York's a school for you. Was it pressure from the coach? Was it you just deciding? Like, what do you remember about that?
Yeah, I think I remember that, you know, I was sort of, in terms of like the application and kind of the deadlines, you know, again, I sort of understood that for a lot of people that this was quite late. You know, and that's kind of why the school in Texas sort of had to hurry up and move on, because they're thinking, well, look, we need a commitment from this guy. If he can't cut the mustard, then, you know, we're trying to finalize our roster pretty soon. So we have to move on if he's not quite there. And obviously at the time, for me, again, you know, I didn't have a ton of offers. So for me, it was, okay, well, look, I think, you know, I did like the coach. I liked the vibe that I had with him. And yeah, for me, it was making sure I just didn't miss out on it. Because obviously, you know, my original thought wasn't to just go to the US just to study. It was also the football piece as well. So I think for me, it was pretty smooth at that point. Once the sort of Texas school was off the table and there wasn't really much else, you know, on the table for me, it was, you know, making sure I just didn't miss out on that opportunity. So, yeah, I think it was, obviously the showcase was in December, and I think it might have been by the end of January or February. I think it was, you know, it was pretty much done and dusted in terms of knowing that I was going to go there. Yeah.
To enroll in August, basically, and start preseason in August. Got it. And then, so you tell your friends, you tell your parents, and was it met with any like skepticism or people like, are you out of your mind? Or like, what was it like?
Only my mom's friends thought it was a bit sketchy. He's like, what? He's like, oh, you know, Janet, how are you sending your son halfway across the world and stuff like that? But I mean, I think for my friends, you know, it was something different, you know. And again, I think, you know, one thing at least back home with a lot of us is that, you know, we look at the US and we look at the lifestyle. I mean, obviously we'll look at certain states and certain cities and get a certain, you know, opinion and view, you know, you watch the movies and all that sort of stuff. So the idea and the concept of going to the US is one that's actually really desirable, especially at, you know, when you're my age doing it. So 16, 17, it's something that, you know, a lot of people want to do just because, again, mixing the education, the football, sort of the lifestyle, and depending on where you go, was really attractive. So my friends were all supportive of it. There was kind of no one saying, ah, you know, you're going to waste your time over there. It's not going to be an issue. Again, I think, you know, from my mom's point of view, she was kind of thinking that, you know, if he leaves, he'll never come back, which I guess it, in some ways
it's true.
I've started to do, really. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, only mainly just because I have my citizenship. I don't think if I didn't have my citizenship, I don't think that would be the case. But yeah, no, it wasn't really met with any negativity. Obviously, you know, for me, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't going to waste my parents' time. I wasn't going to waste their money. I knew sort of, I understood what the sacrifices were. So, you know, I was already going there with a pretty good game plan of what I was going to do, which I know, obviously, there have been guys that have gone to the community college with me and guys that have gone the year after from the UK and not really understanding that and, you know, have failed out within a year or two and they go back to England and they're not, you know, not doing anything. But I knew for me that it was, you know, it wasn't a holiday, it wasn't a vacation. You know, for me it was, you know, this is my life now and I want to get the education. I want to maximize the opportunity. Obviously, if anything happened with football, then, you know, that's a bonus. But for me, it was pretty much a start or the beginning of a new life. So, yeah, and I think that's kind of why it got a lot of support with that.
It was supposed to be 2 years or 4 years?
So, because we knew it was a community college, and the community college was going to be 2 years only. So the plan was always going to be for 4 years. I mean, my dad, he didn't end up going, but he got accepted into UConn for a master's degree. So he kind of knew a little bit about the US education system. So he knew that it was going to be 4 years. And obviously I, again, after doing the research, knowing community college only two, and knowing that you had to at least, you know, do 4 years to get a bachelor's, I think, you know, yeah, the plan was definitely four.
Mm-hmm. So then I want to accelerate it to, you get off the flight, right? So you get off the flight, walk me through like who picked you up, going to campus for the first time, maybe you arrived at night, I don't know, or maybe, you know, your first time seeing the campus, like during the day, some of those realities setting in of like being away from home, dorm for the first night, seeing the campuses, like walk me through that.
Yeah, it was, I almost got off to a bad start. I was fortunate enough that out of the three schools, my mom actually did accompany me on two of the move-ins. So when I first got to Auburn, New York again, I mean, I always thought, you know, JFK, this is the stop. But, you know, flying into Syracuse, that was a spot. And then, yeah, it almost started pretty badly. My mom, we got into a car and, you know, we almost get into an accident. She's driving the wrong side of the road. And it's almost, yeah, it was almost pretty bad. But kind of once we got that piece figured out and got to campus, I think we sort of did like a little drive through, a little drive by. And again, for me, you know, I was just getting goosebumps at that point because I was, you know, sort of like, you know, this is exciting. This is where I'm going to be for the next couple of years. This is where I'm going to be, you know, just, I don't know. It's just different. And then obviously the main things, you know, stuff like going to Walmart, you know, I've never experienced such, you know, good customer service that I have being here. You know, walking down the street and people say, "Hey, how are you?" And I was like, "Wait, I don't even know you." Mm-hmm. But you sort of say that back, you know, if you would say that back home, you know, you might get a dirty look. So mm-hmm. just little things like that was almost like, why is everyone so nice over here?
Mm-hmm.
Usually we kind of keep ourselves to ourselves back home. But, you know, those little things, just stuff like, you know, when I'm trying to either order certain foods or if I'm trying to, you know, ask about, you know, like I remember, I don't know, I go into a restaurant and you ask for chips and you get potato chips and
mm-hmm.
French fries, little things like that. It was a big adjustment. You know, when I would say stuff like, "Oh, you know, I just need to throw away this rubbish," and they're like, "Well, what's that?" I'm like, mm-hmm. "Well, you know, trash," all that sort of stuff, pavement, sidewalk, all those sort of things, I think was I guess probably the biggest shock because I had to almost change the way that I spoke because
mm-hmm.
No one really understood what I was saying, although it was English, no one really understood.
And the guys on the team probably had a laugh, but a couple English guys understood, so there was some comfort with them, right? But the American guys or any other guys from another country might have laughed at it, right?
Yeah, I mean, my first semester, I don't think I spoke once in class, apart from the first day when it was like, "Oh, you know, introduce yourselves, tell us something about you." Other than that, I don't think I ever spoke because every time I'd always get these looks like, "Oh, wow, what's he saying?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the team, you know, for me, I obviously never been in a team full of, you know, players from the US. So obviously, you know, they have, you know, they like to take the mick out of your accent. Obviously, we like to take the mick out of their accent. So they would at any opportunity, you know, try and do that. So it was,
the coach was American?
No, he was Irish. So he was, yeah. So he was, you know, not on our side, but he obviously knew a lot
on our side
what we were saying and knew and stuff. So yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, obviously the banter back and forth was pretty good. I think there's only me and one other English player at this point but yeah, no, it was a good adjustment. Again, I felt like the first few days, you know, when you get your gear and you get shown your locker and you get shown the facilities, again, albeit being a community college, you know, better than any facilities I had back home. So
mm-hmm. That's always interesting to me, like, you know, so many foreign players that I've been around in my career, and you know, you go to these like Clemson's American football stadium and they're like, they play American football in this, and it's like, is, you know, bigger than some EPL stadiums, or they're like, this is incredible, just the whole campus, and like, this is designated just for soccer or just for lacrosse or whatever it is. And that's always incredible to me, because I think as an American, you grow up in it. Like, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, where it's like, yeah, it's the horseshoe. It seats, you know, over 100,000 people. It's where Ohio State plays football. What's the big deal? And it's like, it just is what it is, you know, like, you don't have that same appreciation, and or like the customer service or like people being nice on the street. That's just how it's always been for me. It's like, yeah, some people are nice, some people are assholes. I don't know. You don't even really think about it. So that's really interesting. What about, like, walk me through your first time where you're like, shit, this is really hard. I actually really miss home. This is not as easy in a cupcake walk like I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And obviously it had to be football related. On the academic side, I mean, again, I was never, again, I wasn't like a straight A student, but I also wasn't like a failing student. I would say I was pretty average, pretty much B's. So school for me was fine. The academics, I didn't really stress too much over those. Also, I was, you know, taking classes and courses that I actually had an interest in. So for me, it was, you know, it didn't almost seem like it was anything too crazy. So I didn't ever feel overwhelmed with school. I think it got to the point where I don't really know much of the story beforehand, but I knew that, you know, the team that the coach had spoken to me about before, you know, they got to the regionals or something. And then this year, like, you know, two of the Brazilian guys left, a couple of the other English guys left, and it wasn't basically the exact same team. And they didn't leave because they were sophomores. Some of them just went to other schools. And again, I don't know for what reasons. But yeah, obviously at the time, not, I didn't have the attitude where it was like, oh, hey, well, they suck. I'm just not gonna try. So I, you know, obviously stuck through it and try to make the best out of the situation. And, you know, I think it just got to the point where we were playing, we just played this terrible, terrible team. And there's a team that, like, basically a team that should never win a game. Yet, of course, the one game that they win is against us. And I think it was at that point, I remember it so clearly that at the end of the game, we were at home and I sort of just took myself by the tree and just sat there, and I just sat there for a while, and I just didn't want anyone to talk to me. I sort of just shut down, and you know, I just remember thinking, well, what am I doing here? Like, I felt like, you know, this was going to be this really good experience, you know, again on the football side at least. And I just felt, you know, I just couldn't, for some reason, I was like, you know, this is just terrible. So that sort of broke me down a little bit. And whatnot. Obviously, what was nice is, you know, my coach was there to sort of, you know, put his arm around me and, you know, sort of say, look, I understand that, you know, this is a situation that we're in. And basically, obviously, look to keep pushing, obviously, for me. And again, it was nothing that I was this great player or that I was always on these great teams. But even back home, like the teams that I were on, I mean, I wasn't really used to losing that much. So that was something that was sort of weird to lose three or four games in a row. And again, especially against teams that were just so bad. And, you know, but obviously at the same time, you know, again, after having that conversation with my coach, you know, it sort of made things better. I mean, another time, and probably one that hit me a little bit harder was that, you know, but basically my mom's dad, my granddad on my mom's side. You know, we had a really, really good relationship, you know, in the summer, you know, we'd play tennis and, you know, he'd come around every Sunday for dinner and stuff like that. And, you know, all of a sudden one day I kind of get home, you know, in my dorm room and, you know, my mom's on the phone. And you know, she's really upset. And I'm like, Mom, what's going on? And she basically let me know that, you know, my granddad passed away. For me, you know, I think at that point, it really struck a nerve, because at that point I was, I'm by myself. I don't have family in this country. You know, I'm a 7-hour plane ride from everyone back home. You know, the time difference is 5 hours. So it's not as if, you know, if I was in the US, I could just pick up the phone and, you know, call someone that was here with me. And I think at that point it is when I really started to, it took a lot. Took a lot from me, because I obviously couldn't be there for the funeral, and that really, really did hit me hard. And, and think that, you know, these are the times where you do feel isolated, and there are times, especially for international students that, or you know, whether they have some are lucky enough to have family within the area or within a certain state. But you know, for me, all my family was back home in England, so that was really a time that. I probably struggled the most, because again, I couldn't, you know, you couldn't say goodbye. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't see him, you know, that one last time. And that was really difficult for me. Yeah.
How hard is it like having a good game or having a shitty game like that, and like not having your parents there to like go get a bite after the game, or, you know, seeing your teammates go over and see their mom and dad after the game, and then you got to walk back to your dorm or the locker room alone. Like, what are those moments like?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I mean, my dad was always someone that maybe wasn't, I don't say he wasn't there, but in the sense of like, you know, my mom basically took me to all my games, took me to all my training sessions, and stuff like that. So it definitely was a weird feeling. but not too much, because in college my parents were never really there in games, so that didn't maybe really feel too weird. Obviously, you know, you do see, you know, your friends and your teammates, then, you know, for them to go out with their parents and stuff like that, you know, you do kind of, again, at that point, kind of feel a little isolated and feel like, you know, I kind of wish I could, you know, go out and see my mom and dad. I was fortunate enough that they came out to see me. Yeah, they came out to see me in New York twice. They didn't see me in Alabama, and obviously the last time they came, I was injured. So, but yeah, when they did come, it was great. I mean, to share those moments, to share those experiences with them was good. Although my second year before they came for three games and we were unbeaten, and they came and I'm pretty sure we lost three in a row. So I might have had to blame them a little bit for that.
Yeah. So it's never our fault, right?
Yeah. But no, it was, yeah, I think there are certain moments, you know, again, Thanksgiving is another one, although, again, you know, it's not a holiday that we celebrate in the UK, but, it, you know, it's a time of the year where it's family and you're like, oh, wow, I'm just sort of sitting here doing anything. So there were certain moments that, again, sort of, yeah, you kind of feel isolated and it's tough because, again, you know, you just don't have anyone there for you, and it's not easy at times.
So take me through, you do your 2 years in New York, what's the next step?
So this was an interesting part, and so, you know, the way that, you know, again, I understood it from my coach was that, you know, after the end of the first year of community college, you know, he was basically saying, look, you know, I understand the team was what it was, you know, my recruiting class for next year is going to be better, and, you know, I'm looking to push you here, there, and everywhere. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that sounds pretty good, because at the time, I had an offer from another community college who actually at the time were, and they might still be, but they basically were the top community college in the area, so Herkimer, right? And Herkimer College, community college, always, you know, sent kids to Syracuse and to other Division I schools. And at the time, I had someone that was meant to come to my community college actually ended up there. And he was like, yeah, look, the coach wants you, come in, like all of this sort of stuff. So my head started to turn. You know, the coach, who again, was like, oh, my recruiting class is good. You know, I'm going to help you, push you to these schools as well. And, you know, I felt like I owed him one, because if it wasn't from him, I wouldn't have been out in the US. So, you know, I stuck it another year. And then it got to the point where, again, I didn't really know much about the transition. Obviously, I knew that, you know, going to a four-year school was the plan, was the idea. At that point, you start to sort of get an understanding of the different schools, the different levels. You know, they get you to do ID, you know, ID camps and all that sort of stuff. And then from there, starting to do your own interest. But again, obviously being probably a bit of a maybe blind to reality, you know, I'm thinking, all right, I'm just going to look at Division One. And at the time, to be honest, that's where I looked. And, you know, again, looking back at it, obviously that was not the right decision to make, because there are lots of different programs out there across the levels that would have been a fit. Obviously the one that I did go to was at least a football fit for me. So yeah, you know, it was sort of that transition now. I think of schools, you know, I started to put a list of schools together. My coach.
And you're back in England at this time, or you're still in New York?
No, I'm still in New York. So our full season obviously finished. So it's like November time.
And your current coach is helping you to find the next fit.
Wow, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but from November, I started to, you know, to do some research, because obviously I knew that, you know, I needed to move on come, you know, May or whenever we graduated. So I needed to know that you know, what was going to be next for me. And we had conversations, me and my coach, about, you know, what's going to be next for me. Again, for someone not really understanding the process that well, and him having a little bit of experience, you know, in that process, sending other guys on, I thought, okay, well, this will happen. So I had a bit of research. You know, he started to put me into contact with some schools, and yeah, we kind of just went from there.
So you end up where?
So, he told me one day that, you know, he had a good friend of his that coached at the University of West Alabama. He basically, you know, we had a call. I did some research on the school. I think in terms of the size, it was good for me. You know, also I liked the project that the coach had. I mean, at the time, it was his second year. So the program had only existed for 2 years and it had done pretty well within those 2 years. I didn't really think too much about the location at the time. Obviously, this is Alabama. And for me, well, that's not true. Part of me, as soon as I heard Alabama, I was a little sketchy. It was a little sketchy.
Yeah. Why?
You know, again, in England, you know, again, I don't know if it's really right for me to say it or not, but like, you know, you look at all these documentaries about, you know, like the KKK and that. And at the time, you know, as soon as they said Alabama, I was like, you know, you sort of associate the two and thought to myself, I'm not sure if this is something that, you know, I should look to really pursue. I like the school looks good, the coach and stuff, the football, but I don't know whether as a state that would be something that would be good for maybe someone like me.
Did you express that concern to anybody, your coach, teammates, anybody, or did you just kind of internalize it?
No, I said it to my parents because obviously, you know, the whole time I'm keeping them in the loop with what the situation is and what we're talking about. And, you know, my mom and dad at the time, I mean, I can't really remember too much what they said. They probably said that, you know, things are obviously a little bit different now and things have changed. And I think the thing that sort of turned my head was when I spoke with the coach. And, you know, again, I just think from the vibe that I had with him, you know, the conversation we had was that, look, you know, the school is in an area that is predominantly African-American, which actually it was. And that was actually something that was on the website as well. So that was one. But he also said that, you know, he wouldn't put players in situations where he felt as if it was a bad area. I think if he knew that if race was such a big problem in that area, then he wouldn't look to recruit maybe those sort of players. So I felt pretty comfortable with that. Again, doing some research and again, you look at the rosters of some of their other athletic teams and you see a lot of African Americans and you think, okay, well, this must be, you know, this must not be a big issue here.
Coach is white?
So yeah, he was from Ireland as well.
Oh, two Irish guys, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, and it's NAIA?
That was Division II.
Division II. So now you have a junior college experience, a Division II experience, which is what you were originally looking at in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up going to West Alabama Division II school and then compare the two to each other. Like you get on that campus, you start feeling the realities of the athletic department, the soccer program, the classes, the number of students, the campus. Talk to me about the comparisons.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, one, obviously, you know, the community college I went to, you know, didn't even have we didn't even have a field on campus. So that was the big one. I remember going walking on the turf over at West Alabama thinking, wow, this is, you know, this is a stadium, right? And, you know, this is probably better than most of the grounds or any of the grounds that I played back home. It felt like this wasn't a, you know, university or a college team. So that was one. Obviously, the next one is gear, right? I mean, at community college, I think it was like one training top and one pair of shorts. And then here at West Alabama, it was like, you know, three different training tops, three different pairs of shorts. You get the rain jacket, you get all this other, you know, travel stuff. So that was a big one. And then just, yeah, in terms of campus size, you know, we didn't have a dining hall at my community college. At the time, we just had like a Subway that was, you know, inside. But, you know, this was like, you know, a proper dining hall. You know, again, but yeah, bigger campus, you know, more people. So yeah, it was a big difference. I mean, obviously the accent was one as well. You've gone from, you know, the New Yorkers to now a lot of people from Alabama and Mississippi. So the accent's a little different as well. Obviously the weather, you know, you go from cold and snow to basically humidity. And that was a big shock as well. But yeah, everything, it just seemed like I just, you know, everything had just got, you know, a lot better in a lot of ways.
Real quick, how many times when you were in New York did you did you go to New York City during your 2 years?
When I was in upstate New York, I mean, for commute, while I was in community college, I think I only went once, and that's when my parents visited. But then when I went back to upstate New York after Alabama, yeah, probably only about another one or two times. Yeah, not often, because it was about a 4.5, 5 hour drive. So,
And yeah, and I just say that because it's like that was really like your biggest attraction, right? Like, I want to go to school in New York City or New York, close to New York City. And then it's like you only end up going there twice, right? And one of the times is just because your parents are there, you may not have even gone. So I think that's something too that like it's like what is the main attraction for you and how do you get the most out of that? How much do you truly utilize the biggest attraction? If it's football, it's like, do you really have an understanding of what your role on the team's going to be? Do you really have an understanding of the style of play, the coach, the team, whatever it is? If it's the campus, do you really know the benefits of the campus for you? If it's a city, that's no problem. If that's truly why you want to go there, but it's like, for you, it became, well, the city wasn't accessible enough, and you probably didn't have a car most of the time, or other people couldn't afford the time or the money to budget to go to the city, and you hop in the car with them. So it's like that's the parts about the process that are so incredible to me is like people just don't, it's impossible to predict the future, right? So that's a really interesting part of it. I'm also really interested to hear through any of your experiences when you went to play another team on another campus, what some of your reactions were like. Because I can remember being a student athlete, coaching, playing, and coaching. And it's so cool because you get to see, you travel all over. Like everybody loves the road trips, right? Like you get your music and you get out of class and you get your snacks and you're with your boys on the bus. And it's like you go to these different campuses and you see the girls and you see the other facilities and you see everything. And it's like, it's one of the coolest parts about the process, I think, or your experience. So like, what was it like for you who had never seen other campuses to go see these other campuses?
Yeah, you're spot on. I think I used to love away days. Away days were definitely the best, and especially at West Alabama, because I was fortunate enough to, and maybe not spending 12 hours in a coach, but we played the University of Tampa, and their facilities. I mean, the team is what it is, but the facilities were. I was just like, this is, these are the sort of things where back home we would be like, this is like professional level stuff. It's like, how is this for how is this for, university or college kids,
Division
And
two, right? It's not
yeah,
even the
well,
top division, right? So you talk to your guys on the team that know the divisions, and you're like, this isn't even the top division. This is crazy.
yeah, I mean, the University of Tampa, their facilities were beautiful. I remember going to, I can't remember what school it was in Tennessee, but just the facilities were just, yeah, unbelievable. I mean, for us, almost part of me was kind of like, that's sort of what sort of urged me to play a little bit better, because you're just like, this is, these sort of things, again, just sort of give you goosebumps and sort of hit you, because again, like you said, we were never, I was never exposed to any of these sort of facilities before back home. I mean, community college, the away days were a little bit different depending on the size of the other community colleges, but West Alabama was just, oh my gosh, some of the places in Tennessee, some of the places in Florida that we went. Yeah, some really, really, really beautiful places. So I was definitely fortunate to travel there. And yeah, you just sort of kind of get in awe and think, just yeah, you almost can't even really believe it.
Tell me more about the football through all of your experiences when it obviously you had some experiences where you're like, how the hell are we losing to this team up in New York? But were there other times where either teammates of yours or opponents really impressed you and you were like, wow, this is actually a pretty good standard, or I can't believe this guy's playing here next to me. He could definitely play at a higher level, or there was times where you were challenged to make it into starting 11s or 18s or things like that.
Yeah, that was that's a pretty good one. There's a lot of times, over community college, it was a little different because again, it was not me being big headed or anything like that, but I knew coming in after preseason that you know, good. The team, my first year wasn't that good. So, you know, it sort of was what it was. The second year, when we kind of had a few more guys from England, you know, we were almost kind of like the underdogs. So, you know, that was a really good experience. In terms of the level, though, I mean, especially at community college, it was pretty much, you know, the most athletic guys pretty much would win. I remember this one guy who would score, you know, he scored like two or three goals against us. And it wasn't because he was technically good or he was a smart player. It was literally just because the ball goes over our heads and he's just the quickest one there. But when I got to West Alabama, I mean, at the time, our guy, our captain, his name was Thibaut. He was from France. He played for PSG's academy. I think he won a U17 World Cup with France as well. And I thought to myself, this guy was different gravy. This guy was like unbelievable. And, you know, he was a few years older. I think when I was there, I was 20 and he must have been maybe 23, 24. He was a little bit older. But he was one player I thought, how is this guy? And again, it was no maybe disrespect to Division II, but I felt like, how has this guy not been picked up by Division I school? This guy could do everything, left foot, right, but he was a number 10. I mean, he was unbelievable. But then also, again, you know, you never really know what the standard's like out there. You know, back home, I'm not going to know what the Gulf South Conference is going to be like. But what I didn't realize is actually a lot of French people down south. We played our rivals, which were UAH, and they had this French guy, Lefty. Man, like, this guy was almost unplayable. Luckily for us, we did a pretty good job over him in the conference tournament and in the regular season. But yeah, the level was pretty good. It was competitive. It was challenging. It was good all around. I mean, for me, my experience coming into West Alabama was obviously I was a transfer student. So there were the two center backs in front of me. Obviously, had started the program from scratch. So they were into year three, whereas, you know, I was only into year one. So for me, it was already almost an uphill battle. Now, you know, a lot of people would sort of maybe give up or not try or blame this or blame that. But I think it, you know, the first few games made me realize a lot. I mean, in preseason, I got injured. So that sort of hurt me and my confidence a little bit because I thought, well, I'm further behind now. But I think I just overthought the situation so much. And it got to the point where I was sort of like, you know what, it's for me to take their spots. So I have to almost have this carefree attitude. And I think once I did that, I remember our coach at the time saying, oh, look, Boxy's flying. And in training, I was almost just kind of, you know, sort of, you know, doing the right things and putting myself in good situations and working obviously a lot harder than I, not that I wasn't working hard before, but I just felt like, you know, there's no pressure on me now to really perform. And that sort of, you know, broke me into the team and my flexibility. You know, I could play in a variety of positions, although for me, center back was probably my most comfortable. But, you know, it got to the point where, you know, he had me play left back, center back. I played, you know, in the six a couple of times, and you might laugh at this, I also even played up top. So, you know, that flexibility definitely helped me. But yeah, it was a challenge because you go from community college where, you know, you're pretty much first on the team sheet, you're captain of the team, you're playing, you know, every minute of every game. And now you're going to a different school where you're the newcomer, right? And you're not mm-hmm. the guy that's been there from the start. And you've got to make a statement. You know, you want to have to put your foothold in the group. And again, I think once I understood and was like, you know what, I'm sick of playing. So, you know, again, do what I had to do, kind of had that carefree attitude in training. And I think that's sort of what got me, you know, sort of broke me into that team and almost, you know, kept me there for the rest of the tournament. I remember halfway through the season, I hadn't maybe played a lot. I mean, I got into each game, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily starting every game. And then halfway through the year, just flipped. And, you know, now it was almost like he was taking me off to reserve me for the next game and sort of limiting my numbers there because we had the tournament and stuff like that. So yeah, a lot of that was just the mentality that I sort of had at that point. But it was a big difference.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't see that because it's just like the research of the school or the campus, or the dining halls or the dorms, a lot of people don't do their homework and their research with what the level really is, right? And I was thinking about this the other day. I was laughing to myself and I was like, I bet people know more about like Alabama football, mm-hmm. American football, and what the standards like there, you know, and they're like, well, shit, I could never play there. You know how athletic those guys are, but they don't know the standard of Maryland soccer or Georgetown soccer because it's not on ESPN, right? And they don't see it. It's not in their face every day, or they don't care to go to a game. They're not as entertained by that. It's not in American culture. So from that side of it, it becomes, well, yeah, I can go play at Maryland. I can go play at Georgetown. But it's like they don't know what the training sessions look like, or, you know, what the profile of those players truly are physically, athletically, you know, what their backgrounds are, where they've played, things like that. So then they can't ever break in, or they do break in, they find a way to get to that campus and they do get on the team, but then they don't play because the standard is so far away from them and they become a squad player. And it ends up being a negative experience for them because they don't contribute to the team and they don't have the role and the soccer experience they truly would have wanted. So it's really interesting for me that, like, the, you know, a lot of young players don't care to go watch a game or use YouTube as a resource or Instagram as a resource to watch the games and the sessions and things like that, to learn more about what the standard is and then use that as a reason to make a decision football wise. Mm-hmm. I was shocked at my college experience about the level of the players. Like, I had never really played at an extremely high club level. And then I got to college and it was just like, people were so far ahead of me because of the experiences they had had playing high level club soccer their whole life. And they were turning down Division I offers to go and play at a high level Division III school. And it was just like, it was incredible. Like, it was a dogfight for me to get on the field most years because, you know, I didn't really break into like late junior year and going into my senior year just because the level was above me. So, and that was, you know, a Division III school. But I want to make sure I get two questions answered from you. The first one is like, what would you do if you could go back in the process? What would you do differently?
No, I think the first thing for me would have been to do my research. I think, again, especially, you know, and this is a difference, obviously, for maybe a domestic player, you know, you have, you know, this is sort of in your own back garden, right? So this is something that you have all the information right there. Being back in England and never hearing of, you know, never heard of the NCAA, never heard of Division 1, 2, and 3, I think for me, it would definitely be to do the research again, because then that way, again, you sort of, again, come up with your list of maybe ideals, or, you know, you have a little bit of or a little bit more of an understanding of what you're trying to get into or what you would like to get into. So research for me would definitely been the one thing I would look to do if I was to do it again.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You can only tell people that so many times before you see the action from players, and like, those are the ones that truly find the right fit are the ones that do the research, look at the schools, and have a reason, multiple reasons. That's the best way to say it. Multiple reasons why a school is a good fit for them, you know? With that, hand in hand, what would be your advice for foreign players specifically going through this process? What would you say?
Yeah, I think obviously that, yeah, do your research. You have to understand, you know, what it is that you're getting into. You know, I think that would help me a lot. You know, I would tell them, you know, if there are players out there to make sure that, I mean, cool, at least on the academic side, I mean, I it didn't really hurt me too much. It was just kind of my SAT, but I think understanding that if you're coming from a certain place, right, understanding that your grades are going to have to be there. Maybe I have a little bit more of my Calverton hat on there to sort of answer that, but that would be one. But then two, you know, it's a different culture, right? Things that you do before or had done and stuff that you like, it's different. So just kind of be prepared for that and just be flexible. I mean, I think at the end of the day, again, the US is so big. There are a lot of different opportunities out there for you. And I think, you know, you have to almost in some ways be realistic with what you're looking at. Again, if you know that you've never played at a high level club, maybe I'm not going to go to the best, you know, college team in the country and so forth. So understanding, maybe be a little bit more self-aware of where you are or who you are as a player or the level that you're playing at, because, you know, those sort of things are important, especially going through here, because if you think you're the best and you come here, you know, it's a lot different than you realize. And you know, those are the moments where you can get caught up.
Yeah. Extremely, extremely well said. I mean, I don't think we need to say anything else outside of that one. For like the self-awareness is so, so important for guys. What you've seen it now, you've had a community college experience, a Division II experience, knowing you've seen through DC United, through Calverton, through different networks you're in now, you've seen guys go to, you know, like a Nuge to Temple and, you know, Eric Mazelevich to Maryland. You've seen these guys. We've worked, you and I, to place them together, you know, talking to coaches, talking to the players through the process. Where do you think you could have played? You know, and I don't want to, for me, well, I'm interested to hear how you respond. Where do you think you could have played?
No, I mean, I definitely feel like so one thing that one of my teammates always said to me, that sort of always rung home is that, you know, he always said that everyone's here for a reason. And, you know, it sort of struck me with T-Bone. He's like, oh, how would you mean? So there's some reason. And I felt like maybe the reason I couldn't have played at a higher level was because, you know, those Division I schools wanted an athlete, right? And I wasn't, you know, the quickest. You know, I was really good in the air. I was strong. But, you know, in a foot race, you know, I'm not going to win those. So I felt like, if you take the tactical side of me and you take the mindset and stuff, I definitely felt like I could have played in Division I, but athletically, I definitely wouldn't have been, able to. But again, it was one of those times when I was in community college, we watched Syracuse a lot. You know, they were only pretty much a 30-minute, you know, drive down the road. And that's sort of what sort of spurred me on to play at that level, because I'd watched their center back at the time and I was like, this guy, like, how's he playing for this school? So, but again, not really understanding the level completely, but I knew that from a technical and a tactical side, I could do it. But, you know, I guess I would be either found out, or at least it seemed as if, you know, they wanted the athletes at center back, and, you know, I was sort of limited at that point.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to tell you how to answer that, because what I don't like is when people say I could have played Division I or I couldn't have played Division I, because to me it's so different across Division I, right? When you look at, like, you know, the school that finishes number one in the RPI for the year versus the school that finishes number 204, 206, whatever it is, like, it's such a discrepancy throughout that, you know, about what that Division I as a whole looks like. And I'm sure that you're the guys you mentioned, the couple French guys you mentioned, you know, maybe a guy from Bermuda here or there, that, you know, we've seen players who fall through the cracks and should have ended up at other places. Maybe they shouldn't have been a Division II player and they could have gone and play Division I. But as you said, things happen the way they happen for a reason, and people end up where they end up for a reason, you know? So I think that's a big point too, is like, I always try to stay away from that, of labeling people and saying you're a Division I player, you're a Division III player. I think people need to find the fit that is right for them within, you know, a division. There's levels within the division that people have to be aware of. Well, no, man, that was the big things I wanted to talk about tonight. I mean, I think you've had an incredible journey. It's really cool to hear details about it. I haven't, I think maybe heard all those details from you. So anything else that you want to add in, or anything else you want to try to plug for the podcast?
Well, no, obviously, first of all, again, I appreciate you, you know, giving me the opportunity to be on this. You know, I, I feel like that you know, for my age, there's definitely been a lot of experiences that I've had that have just been sort of a whirlwind for me. So no, I appreciate everything that you've done for me and you've helped in my career. It's definitely been something that, you know, I'm always appreciative of. So thank you. In terms of moving forward, I mean, if there are, you know, people listening to this and you know, again, you're an interested student athlete, again, you know, if you're a domestic or an international student and you're looking to, you know, just try to bridge that gap between playing in high school or playing club and going to college, you know, definitely look us up, DC Calverton. You can go on the Calverton website. And again, if you're looking for good academics and a good soccer experience, you know, that can certainly help. But no, I mean, it's definitely been a journey. It's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, no, absolutely. And it's cool too to see what started as, well, I'm going to go to a small community college in New York and just kind of see what happens for a couple of years, ends up, you know, 8-10 years later, you're still here and you're making a career for yourself and you've carved out a good coaching network and you're settling in a lot of different ways. So I think that's the other part of it, that like, you can't predict what the future is going to look like, whether you're an American, you know, a foreign player coming to college in America. You don't really know how to predict that stuff. So that's awesome. I'll tell you no matter.